Wait, are you making these deadly mistakes in your project management career? Have you ever stopped to think, what if the habits I rely on are secretly sabotaging my success? Or could it be the way that I've always done things that are holding me and my team back? Whether you're brand new to project management or you are a seasoned pro, it's time to challenge your assumptions, rethink your mindset, and unlearn outdated beliefs keeping you stuck. In today's episode, I'll uncover some powerful mind shifts to help you become the project manager that will get you out your own way. Point number one, abandon perfectionism in favor of pragmatism. You know what I mean by that. What I'm saying is being pragmatism, meaning that many project managers aim for perfection before actually taking action. They'll learn and learn and learn because their fear of the mistakes will lead to failure. However, this leads to unnecessary delays and frustration. See, perfectionism slows progress. Matter of fact, if you ever even thought about it and paid attention, it demotivates your team. It prevents learning from real-world feedback. Striving for excellence rather than perfection ensures steady momentum. Why am I telling the truth? Well, I'm going to show you the proof in the pudding. I decided to go live without even thinking about it. I decided to put out an episode without thinking about it. Well, I thought about it, but I had to go ahead and take immediate action. See, here's my actionable tip. Use an 80-20% rule. What is an 80-20? Well, you focus on the 20% of critical tasks that drive 80% of the project value. And then just iterate, just like if you would and keeping an agile mindset, because you're looking for feedback rather than waiting for the perfect outcome. Point number two, challenge the way we've always done it attitude. Oh my goodness. You know, this is one of the things that just fires me up. See, so many people just, when you ask them a question and say, well, why are we doing it this way? And they always say, well, this is how we've always done it. Well, do you think how we always done it is going to be useful here? Well, you know, I never even thought about that way. And that's the thing. See, familiar routines become comfort zones. What it does is it prevents you from improvement and innovation. This is important, family, because encouraging innovation boosts efficiency, adaptability, and responsiveness to change. Here's my actionable tip. Hold regular innovation workshops, prompting team members to explore new approaches to common project practices. Point number three. Transition from competitiveness to collaboration. Again, transition from competitiveness to collaboration. This is something I had to learn as a project manager in my early stages. And it was a seasoned project manager that really equipped me to understand this. See, what it was, family, is that I thought as the project manager, I was responsible, since I'm responsible for everything, I'm making sure it was about me. Okay, I know that sounds a little selfish, but what I mean about me, meaning is making sure, yes, everybody did everything, done everything. And when the achievements came, I was like, yeah, you know, we had this person do this and that person do this. However, I needed to be more outgoing about the achievements of what people contributed to the project. See, competition between team members, it undermines team effectiveness and overall project quality. This is why you have, in certain organizations, you have these silos instead of people coming together to collaborate, because when it's time for their performance appraisal, it turns into more about the individual. And then they feel like, well, I gotta get mine. I gotta make this happen, because if I don't, I'm not going to be able to get a high score on my performance appraisals. But no. We have to adjust that thinking. We have to unlearn that thinking, because if you think about it, if you think about the team and the team has success, that success should roll down to you. So encouraging collaboration enhances collective productivity and it fosters innovation. Here's my actionable tip. Highlight collective wins rather than individual achievements, promoting an inclusive environment. Point number four, move from a task-oriented thinking to outcome-focused thinking. Family, if you are a new project manager, this is one of those things I wish I would have learned early in my career, but you know, I don't believe in wishes. I believe in moving forward and taking immediate action. So I'll say this. If you're paying attention, if you're listening to today's episode, this is one of these things you want to lock in, Because when you move to more of an outcome focus, more than a, oh, I'm leading a project and I got to be so task orientated, because what happens is concentrating so solely on task completion without considering outcomes can lead to missed opportunities or more or less poor project alignment. This is important, family, because outcome orientated thinking aligns efforts, strategic goals, ensuring the project delivers real value. See, you have to remember a project is created because we're trying to get, not trying, we need to get value out of this project. Here's my actionable tip. Regularly revisit project outcomes and meetings, aligning tasks explicitly to these broader goals. Point number five, transitioning from risk averse to risk management. I don't know why people always trying to avoid risk. I need to know, we need to practice risk management. I guess we should probably should say, make risk management great again. Okay, maybe that not, may not be good. Okay, how about this? We need to ensure that we're doing risk management properly. Because see, avoiding risk entirely can stifle innovation and project growth. Managing risk strategically is more effective. Here's why this is important, family. Proper risk management encourages balanced decision-making, allowing teams to innovate safely. See, when you actually take the time to perform proper risk management, you set your team up for success, because we should be following, you know, I'm going to do a whole episode on risk management, because I think that is, I know it's important for us to do risk management properly, and I want to bring it to you. So here's my actionable tip. Conduct proactive risk management shops to openly discuss, categorize, and manage risk regularly. Point number six, embrace ambiguity and uncertainty and opportunity. See, managers often view uncertainty as threats rather than opportunities for innovation or learning. It always confuses me, because you know, on any project, you can plan, and then all of a sudden you take that plan and you walk into, you start executing, you like, oh, I didn't think about that. And it just comes up out of nowhere. So a positive mindset toward uncertainty opens up possibility for creativity, adaptability, and most of all, creating that competitive edge. Here's my actionable tip. I recommend that we leverage a particular event or ceremony, depends on where you're from, meaning retrospective meetings. Instead of waiting until the end of what we normally do when we're creating our lessons learned register, let's conduct retrospective meetings after unexpected events happen. See, this allows us to capture what happened and what we can do and how we resolve the issue. And then we can still document that in our lessons learned. Point number seven, one of my favorites. Embracing the agile mindset over purely traditional thinking. Family, we are in a new day and age. This is why this episode is based around unlearning a lot of behaviors we picked up along the way. And my new project managers, you're coming into this really fresh, or if you're transitioning into project management, because many PMs rely exclusively on predictive methodologies, even when agile or a hybrid approach may be a better suit for what they're leading. Let me tell you why this is important. Flexibility in our approach allows better adaptation to changing business needs, increasing customer and stakeholder satisfaction. Here's my actionable tip for today. Regularly evaluate your methodology choice at project milestones, adjusting methods to align with the evolving project realities. Point number eight, shifting from a reactive to a proactive communication message. Anytime that I say message, if you're new to the episode, this is something you want to pay attention to. This is something you want to tune in. And yes, I waited to the end, maybe because I want to see where my true family members are. See, what happens a lot of times is that you'll have somebody send an email and then you follow up with them and say, you're in your team meeting, say, hey, did you, how's things going? I know you had this particular task. And they'll say, oh yeah, I sent the email. Okay, and then what? Well, I sent the email, you know, a couple of days ago and I haven't heard back from them. Okay, so what are you gonna do about it? Like, meaning that and you can see I'm really passionate about this family because of the fact is there's alternative ways. So you sent the email 2 days ago. Did you follow up? And then the next thing they say, yeah, I followed up. How did you follow up? Via email. So if they're not answering that email, do you think the chances of them answering this new email that you sent? So you have to find alternative ways, because the more you are proactive in your communication, it reduces misunderstanding, it keeps stakeholders aligned, and it mitigates the escalation of small issues. See, it's challenging when you have to escalate a small issue that could have been resolved. Well, ED, well, how am I going to resolve? How could I have done that better? I'm so glad that you're thinking. How you could have resolved that better. Most organizations have Microsoft Teams. They also have where you can call them. They may have their phone number in there. If we're international, use things like WhatsApp. See, when you're building relationships, you should be able to get these type of communications. So if they're not responding to an email that you sent 2 days ago, I'm not going to follow up via email. I'm going to follow up by giving you a call. Oh, you don't want to take my call? Well, I'm going to follow up by Teams or whatever messaging platform there is. I want to exhaust everything before I escalate, because the first question the person that you're escalating to, they're going to ask you, what have you done? If you say, hey, first, I sent the email. Second, I followed up through Teams or Sign or whatever that communication tool is. Third, I actually gave them a call. They're going to say, well, you know what? Maybe we need to replace this team member, or let me have a talk with them, because evidently they're not being proactive in the communications the way that you are. Here's another actionable tip. Implement a weekly proactive status update to key stakeholders outlining anticipated risk and mitigation plans before they become a problem. Well, family, here's my final advice. I hope that you take action with this stuff. That by when I say take action, I mean experiment. Three questions for you, and then I'll let you be on your way. If you made it to the end of this episode, first of all, I want to say thank you. First question. Are you still avoiding conflict instead of addressing it? Remember, conflict doesn't appear, it grows through tough conversations. So you want to be able to meet discomfort head on. Have you allowed for insistent communication to sabotage your project success? Make me a promise today. Put it in the chat. Send me a DM. Commit today to clear, proactive communication and simply build habits around trust so you can eliminate confusion and keep everyone aligned. And my last thought here is, are unclear boundaries creating chaos in your projects? If so, you want to set firm, transparent boundaries so you can empower your project team, protect your focus, and maintain a healthy project success. Well, family, remember this. The power to shift from chaos to confidence is in your hands. Unlearning these limited habits or limited beliefs can embrace proactive leadership, and you can start leading with clarity, courage, and most of all, my favorite, consistency. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.